Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
Good morning. Good morning. Amen. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're going to have a very short service by faith today. I mean it. God does the impossible, and you will see the impossible being done today. Amen. I'm only going to preach for about 20, 25 minutes. A couple of things we need to do before we conclude. Amen. So, unfortunately, the thought that I will start this morning will be concluded next year. Sounds like a long way, okay? But it will be concluded next year. But I felt this particular thought that I wanted to impart and offload to your understanding in reference to King's Oil. So this is King's Oil, Part 7. In this series, what we sought to impart via the Word of the Lord to your understanding is this, that there is an authoritative dimension that is locked up in fathering. Any spiritual leader leading the house of God, leading the people of God, has attendant with the innate grace that God has uniquely endowed that person with, an authority. Everyone say an authority. Leadership is not just grace impartation to empower you. There's a kingliness, a governmental, almost executive, jurisdictional power that's attendant with that grace that you must understand. The thing that you don't understand, you don't access. You know truth, and then truth sets you free. Truth unknown does nothing for you. So in the series, what I attempted to impart to your understanding, to your knowing, so you can enter the truth thereof and experience benefit, is this fact, that it's extremely important that you discern the upgrade in the Father-Son wineskin that God is busy offloading to the global church now. And that, in part, has got to do with the grace dimension vested in fathering that is governmental. There's a governmental dimension to grace. Grace is not just impartational empowerment, enablement, grants you joy, evokes gratitude, commissions you, uniquely enables you to fulfill your assignment that God has for you in life. It does. It's beautiful. It does all of those things. Yet, in the grace of God is government. Okay? In the grace of God is government. Okay? So, for example, Titus would say that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. Okay? So you can't say, I'm full of grace and be licentious. Grace is not license to sin. Can't say I'm full of grace, therefore I can do what I do or I am wanting to do without regard to obeying God's principles, simply because I know God is a God of grace. Grace doesn't free you to sin. Grace frees you from sin. It says it teaches you. Everyone say teaches you. It teaches you to deny ungodliness. There's an instructive, didactic dimension to grace, because it's able to teach. Grace is an educator. It's like you're in the classroom, and grace is the teacher. And it says the grace of God teaches us to say no to the wrong thing. You say no to ungodliness. So I'm just referencing that to highlight this point. There is a governmental, strong, authoritative dimension to grace. Generally, there is. So in the face of temptation, you can say, I will not bow to you, sin, because this grace is now teaching me to say no to you. So I can look at temptation, especially in this period of the year, and I can say no, because grace doesn't just empower me to do, grace empowers me to say no. Okay? The grace of God is extremely governmental. So I want you, everyone say authority. So generally within grace, there is that authoritative dimension where in the face of warfare or temptation or testing or suffering and you feel yourself slipping, what causes you to say no is this governmental dynamic within the grace of God. It teaches me to say no to sin. Now, equally important, if in your leader grace is vested and you are a son in the house and you are related as a son to that father, that grace, like I've been teaching, itself has a government. Itself has an authoritative dimension that can come to you to empower you to get certain things done within your life in a very, very powerful and authoritative fashion. I'm not going to, because of the brevity of time, I'm not going to fall prey to the temptation to try to rehearse what we've done because it will just take up a lot of time. So if you fail to understand some of the things I'm saying, please consult our prior sessions and you'll get into the principle. What I want to demonstrate today is that whenever the enemy comes up against you, that this governmental authoritative dimension vested in kings, and all fathers are kings according to Job 29. When a father fathers a sphere, he fathers that sphere as a governmental ruler, as a king with tremendous divinely invested grace that is able to benefit everyone under his sphere of influence, so that you don't have to contend with things on your own when faced with them if you know how to tap into this kingly grace. Now in Nahum chapter 2 verse 1, if we can put it up, Gary, New King James. In Nahum chapter 2 and verse 1, 2 weeks ago or more, we processed this scripture, that the one who scatters, or the scatterer, has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. That's New King James. Go to NASB, I think most of you know this framing. Okay. Everyone say, man the fortress. Say, watch the road. Strengthen your back. Summon all your strength. Right? Four things, and we discussed all four. Four responses to a scattering initiative. When the enemy comes to scatter you, there are four things you must do. Right? And they all have specific meaning. Man the fortress. Watch the road. Strengthen your back. Summon all of your strength. And this word scatterer means to totally devastate. Some versions of the Bible say the devastator has come. He who wants to totally disintegrate is another synonym that is often used here. What was built, he wants to destroy. This is the destructive element that comes up against you, your family, your health, your finances, the church of God, the will of God for your life. The enemy does not want you to succeed. He is intent on scattering you. Intent on scattering you. Now, part of your understanding in reference to scattering must be this. The scatterer might not always be external to you, but might be internal to you. Right? The scattering initiative might be a mindset that you hold internally within yourself, and you're looking for an external enemy to fight. Whereas the enemy that you must defeat would be the mindset that you hold, the thinking that you entertain within you that is designed to destroy you. Now, you cannot fight yourself. You must fight an enemy. But if you harbor within yourself an enemy or thought fostered by the enemy, then you are fighting an internal battle. And the battle is within you, and not extraneous to you, right? Now, our text here is Matthew chapter 12. Because of time, I'm going to go to this as quickly as possible. So I want to speak about how King's oil, this authoritative dimension, you need to access by dealing with a particular mindset that you hold internally to yourself in reference to your king. Remember the text, just go quickly, just as a quick reminder, is it Proverbs 30, verse, was it 29, I think? Proverbs 30, verse 29. There are three things which are stately in their march, even four which are stately when they walk: the lion, which is mighty among the beasts and does not retreat before any, the strutting rooster, a male goat, and also a king whose army is with him. Everyone say, a king whose army is with him. And we spoke variously in this regard up to this point, that the army mustn't be against the king. In Solomon's mind, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, in his mind, there are four things which he says are majestic or stately. And he mentions three others. And the last thing he mentions, there is something called a king whose army is with him when they march. Right? Nothing more impressive in Solomon's mind than that picture. And so with that in mind, read Matthew 12, verse 22. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him, so that the mute man spoke and saw. Okay, two problems here. He couldn't see, he couldn't speak. And Jesus addresses both problems. Okay? So he's blind and mute, brought to Jesus. He healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw. Now watch the crowd response to this. All the crowds were amazed and were saying, this man cannot be the son of David, can he? Now, can you come to the most inaccurate conclusion based on a successful ministry initiative? The man is blind but now can see, was deaf but now can speak, and the appraisal of the individual administrating this, Jesus, is totally off cue. It's totally wrong. Can he be the son of David? Can he? Now watch. The Pharisees. The Pharisees represent a religious spirit. Everyone say religious spirit. When the Pharisees heard this, they said, so they jump on the bandwagon because they know the crowd mentality. Everyone say thinking. The crowd mentality has now presented to them fertile seeds to sow more disorder, more confusion. Must never ever allow present thinking to afford to Satan an opportunity to further distort you. Right? You must never ever allow even a thought that you voice, because there's a Pharisee religious dimension, a satanic dimension waiting to further mess you up mentally, simply because present thinking is not accurate. Right? So the Pharisees jump on the bandwagon. When they heard this, they said, this man, watch the accusation. This man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Okay? And knowing their thoughts. Pump your neighbor and say, Jesus knows your thoughts. Right? Some of you want to know the thoughts of people, don't you? We'll tell everybody's business here. Let me just say this to you. This level of anointing, Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. God will only entrust to you, for example, the gift of the word of knowledge. Remember Jesus at the well, the woman, knew she had five husbands, right? And he knew that the present guy she was living with was not a husband. He knew that by divine intellect. God could entrust his son with knowledge that no one told him about people, because he was trustworthy enough, confidential enough, to manage information. Many of us today are not flowing in the word of knowledge, because that knowledge will be on the supper table with your family. You must learn when to put this finger on this mouth. Otherwise, you will never grow in things like discernment, in things like words of knowledge. Why must God afford you the privilege of knowing details about people's lives if at the end of the day, you are not going to be redemptive? You're not going to be prayerful in reference to those things. Okay? Should we make the altar call now? I'm telling you, in 2023, learn to put a rein on your lips. Otherwise, this level of knowing, Jesus knowing. And notice, so Jesus is a bit perturbed now, because he knows that they are thinking, I've just healed a demon-possessed man, and the view of everybody concerning me is, I did it by the power of Beelzebub, which is prince of the demons, head of the demons. I've driven out a demon from someone, and he can now see, and he can hear. Okay? Knowing their thoughts, so what is the response of Jesus? So here's the response of Jesus. Any kingdom divided against itself, everyone say kingdom. Say kings. Say king's oil. Right? He says any kingdom. So he's speaking here about governmental authoritative dimensions. He says, Jesus said, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. And he argues with them. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Your accusation is I'm casting demons by the power of demons. So how can Satan cast himself out? Jesus is arguing like in a court of law. And then he continues, if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Throws it right back at them. If you are laying this accusation to me, so by the way, what power do you guys operate by? Because you're doing similar work of exorcism, etc. For this reason, they will be your judges. The demons will be your judges. Then he concludes in verse 28. If I cast out demons, everyone say but. He says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds that strong man? Then he can plunder his house. He who is not with me is what? Is against me. And he who does not gather, what is he doing by not gathering? He is scattering. He who scatters has come up against you. So Jesus puts a different understanding of what it is to scatter. Yeah. Right? So he makes this, I've always couldn't understand this verse over the years and why it is located in this discourse until recently. Right? He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me, there's nothing more majestic like a king whose army is, everyone say, with him. Jesus is, I know he knows the entirety of the Old Testament. He is the Word of God made flesh. I think he's drawing upon several, in terms of the arsenal of his knowledge here, of the scriptures, and he's making a very, very strong point. If you do not gather with me, you are scattering. Right? Therefore, I say, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word of God against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Okay? And then he goes on. Now, just because of the sake of time, I can't do this as I would like. I want to make just the kernel principle known to you. And we'll pick this up again next year and further extrapolate it to certain case studies in the scriptures. So Jesus is casting out demons. The accusation against him is, you're doing it by the power of demons. Jesus' response to, how can I use demonic power to cast out demons? Because no kingdom that's divided against itself will stand. Nobody enters a strong man's house and plunders his property until he first binds the strong man. So how can you guys claim that I'm casting out demons by the power of Satan? Because Satan will never cast himself out. He will never scatter his own kingdom. He will never dissipate or seek to bring weakness to his own kingdom. But, he said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, know this, the kingdom of God has come among you. He who is not with me, makes this bold statement, he who is not with me yet, I know there's a lot of accusations. He who is not with me is actually against me. And if you are not gathering with me, you are actually scattered. Right? And the word scatter here is scorpizo, which means to waste or to dissipate, to put to flight, or to disperse abroad. The intention is disintegration. Disintegration. So, Jesus essentially is saying to them this: you've misjudged me. You've misjudged my motive, and you've also misjudged the source of a power that I access to do what I am doing. You are now labeling for me, you are challenging me and you're labeling me as a worker of Satan. But that's ludicrous, because how can Satan cast out Satan? I'm doing this by the Spirit of God. So whenever you judge your leader as doing something by human initiative, or worse still, by satanic influence, when that leader is functioning by the Spirit of God, you are scattering and not gathering. Right? You're misappraising his motive. You're misappraising the source of his wisdom, the source of his power. And you actually, if you read the subtext here, blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Right? Tell someone very serious. Very serious. You know, when Peter stood in Acts 5 before, when they gave offerings and Ananias and Sapphira were judged, remember? When they brought in a hypocritical offering and misrepresented the value of the property sold, Peter's first question is, why has Satan filled your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? I am standing here as God's representation, as a leader in your midst. But you are lying against the Holy Spirit. You fail to see that I'm the human agency or representation of the Holy Spirit in this context. When the prodigal son returned, Luke 15, to the estate of his father, you know what he said? Father, I have sinned against, not against you. I have sinned against heaven. You must see heavenly power and authority vested in human fathering. Peter's standing, you've not lied against me, you've lied against the Holy Ghost. Right? Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. The prodigal son did not say, I've sinned against you. Because the prodigal son knew what the father represented. If you check the text out, it says very clearly, I've sinned against heaven, but it's in your sight. Everyone say, in your sight. Right? In other words, under your management, in your sight, it's under your management. Under your administration, I've sinned. Right? But in sinning, in violating principles governing my relationship with you, my father, I've actually violated a heavenly principle. Right? I've actually violated a heavenly principle. So Jesus says this: how can you misappraise the power that I access to do God's business? And I want to encourage us all. If you regard your spiritual father or leader as someone authentic, right? Although human, always defer in trust to their capacity to represent God accurately, to always hear from him, and never walk out of a council session, a telephone call, or an email with this perspective: I've heard what he or they said, if I'm including myself and Renee, I've heard what they said. But that thought is actually a thought of Satan, not the Spirit of God. When you do that, you're bordering on very dangerous grounds, right? Bordering on very dangerous grounds, because you have opened the door to a scattering initiative of the Lord. Jesus said, you can't even be neutral about this. He said, he who is not gathering with me is scattering. Everyone say no neutrality. So you can't even say, well, I'm not gathering. You can't even say, I'm not scattering, I'm just not gathering. Because Jesus said, not gathering is scattering. Right? And gathering is just an assemblage. It includes holistically in your thoughts and mind, your opinion, you holistically believe. Next year I'll demonstrate to you from Genesis 49. Unto Judah it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Not so? Some of you know the text, Genesis 49. That word there is obedience. Unto him shall the obedience of the people be. If you check the same verse out in the NASB versus the New King James, the one says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be, and the other says, unto him shall the obedience of the people be. When Jesus said, he who is not gathered with me is actually scattering, what he's alluding to is, he who does not implicitly obey me has just scattered. Okay? He has scattered. So I want to just encourage you here to really adjust your mindset in reference to leadership. For many of us, and I have challenged my own life, and Renee and I, we've been chatting, we've been saying things like, in reference to our fathers in Christ, we need to upgrade our levels of honor. And take it to the next degree so that we access the authoritative dimension, right? Never second guess their counsel, right? Never entertain an iota of disregard, not even in a joke. You don't tread there. You don't go there. That's, I've said this to you countless number of times, haven't I? I sin variously. Don't sin. I'm making a point. Sin as much as you want to, but there's one sin that you must really guard against, is a sin of dishonor, where you discredit leadership and you say, there's marvelous, and don't the results speak for themselves? The man is mute, he can speak. The man is blind, he can see. But they discounting the process by which the fruit was manifested. And I want to encourage you never ever to do that, and never ever to come to that position. Now, because of time, and I've got 5 minutes, can you believe this? My goodness, I think the time has been scattered more than anything else. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 49. I won't go through Isaiah 3, I want you to do Isaiah 3. If you're taking notes, just study Isaiah 3, 1 to 6. But let's go to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Verse 17, sorry. Your builders hurry, and your destroyers and devastators will depart from you. Your builders hurry, and your destroyers or your devastators depart from you. The New King James, Gary? Something very similar. Your sons, everyone say, your sons make haste. And your destroyers and those who laid waste shall go away from you. The modern King James says something similar. I like the message. It says, your builders are faster than your wreckers. The demolition crews are gone for good. So, in one verse here, there are two opposing elements, a destroying element and a building element. Go back to the NASB. Right? Now, it says your builders hurry. And we just read the New King James. It says your sons hurry. The word builders here is the word ben in the Hebrew, which means sons. So, just to conclude as a point of encouraging you, not just to heighten your sense of honor and belief in leadership for you to access this king's oil going forward, so that you don't sin against the Holy Ghost. Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Right? Prodigal son said, I've not sinned against you. I've sinned in your sight, but really I violated heaven. Right? Bump your neighbor and say, open your eyes. Right? You're to see. In other words, the thing that you don't fear, you will loosely obey or disobey. The thing you don't fear, you will loosely, you'll think nothing of just, I'm shocked today at how people can be flippantly obedient with these things. Moses, God called Miriam, says, were you not afraid to speak against my servant? Like, what got into your thinking, my girl? Were you not afraid? God dealt with her, and she became leprous. Remember the story? Right? And I want to encourage you, I don't know what 2023 will hold for you. All I'm saying for me and my house, my system of honor, for kingly authority in terms of my spiritual father, will go to the next level. Right? I know it's a system of immunity. I'll teach on this next year. There's tremendous protection and covering and grace in this. And I know we are positioning ourselves well. I am neutralizing any scattering initiative from the enemy that it might field from without and from within my thinking. Okay? You must tell your neighbor, deal with the scatterer within you. Right? You can be scattering things and you're busy fighting external enemies, yet the enemy is within your mind and your mentality. But as a point of encouragement, I want you to hurry. Everyone say, hurry, 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 hurry. I'm thinking of Harry. Auntie Sandra's former deceased husband. Everyone say, curry in a hurry. Yeah, you like that, eh? Curry in a hurry. But say, building. Builders must hurry. Right? You see, and let me just say this. This, I believe, was a warning. By the way, accent, that verse you read about at the table, I woke up with this morning. I went down to my office, as I usually do, just to meditate. And the Lord, I was wondering, God, I was praising the year. It's been a difficulty on so many fronts. And the Lord said to me, I allowed it to test you, but I allowed it for you to walk through what I need you to preach through next year. And he said to me, now you are converted, now strengthen your brothers. Everyone say, strengthen your brothers. Let me just say this as a sideline form for many of you. The thing that God permitted was for others. The thing that God permitted in you was for you to strengthen others. Okay? Don't ever discount. And some of you, even if you failed dismally this year, say to God, Lord, I've messed up big time. But I want to regroup. I want to learn from my experiences. I want to position myself, and even going forward, I can draw reference to my experience, and I can help someone not go the route I went to by how I counsel and talk and preach to them even in next year. Nothing is wasted in God. Everyone say, nothing is wasted, right? You know, somebody said to me again in the week, don't stop sending the broadcast. I want to take a break. I woke up with the thought of taking a break, and then this message comes. Sometimes it's taxing to wake up and do these things with regularity. And then this message comes. I thought, okay, I'll take a little bit of a break, smaller break. And then the Lord said to me, I've raised you up as a Barnabas in the kingdom. I've raised you up as one who encourages, not just your local house, but the saints at large. Now fulfill your ministry. I'm always governed by a purpose of God, right? I want to be known as one of the greatest encouragers in God's kingdom. That when he was alive, we were encouraged. So you take him out of the earth, God must fill the gap with someone else. But I've taught the series on Barnabas, remember? The encouragement of the Holy Ghost. Remember that the little thing we did? Bump your neighbor and say, in 2023, strengthen your brothers. Come on, say it again. In 2023, strengthen your brothers. I have decided now, I'm waiting for 31st of December. I've decided now that in 2023, I'm going to strengthen the church. I will bolster, I will anchor, I will consolidate the house of God, both locally and abroad. But I must hurry. Everyone say, hurry, hurry, hurry. It says your builders hurry. Builders is son. Your builders hurry, and watch this. It says, what happens when builders hurry? Look at the verse. What happens when builders hurry? The destroyers and the devastators suddenly depart. In other words, don't focus on chasing or opposing the destroyers or the devastators. You just focus on building. I will build my church. And what happens? Gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Building activity is God's methodology for neutralizing a scattering initiative of the enemy, right? The enemy doesn't not just prevail against the church. It does not prevail against the built church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The NRSV version, I don't think we have it, says this. Your builders outdo your destroyers, and those who laid waste go away from you. You see, certain mindsets, and even, I want to say this for 2023. There are certain battles we are going to face with devastating satanic intent. Some of that we will not have to resist. Although the scripture says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. But how do you resist? You resist by building activity. If your building activity outpaces the destructive activity dissipates. If, I would like to think of it like this, if Satan comes to Gate Ministries Durban Central and say, I want to devastate the house, what he must meet are builders that hurry. He must realize, I can try, but the pace and the intensity of building is far too intense. So the hurried building dissipates the scattering initiative, right? Satan only looks for loopholes, but if you can demonstrate to him a very, very, very strong building. And now, how do you build? You build by your sonship, because sons build the house of God. And that's a huge topic all by itself. But I want to encourage you this morning to consolidate your sonship, to consolidate your disposition of obedience, of loyalty, of commitment. I said this to you, you know, this series on King's Oil, for me, was a prophetic warning for next year. I kept saying this virtually every week. God, I believe, has released the series now in 2022 because he wants certain principles very strong in 2023 and going forward. And this is going to be your immunity. This is going to be the thing that will protect you. But just one last, I can't help myself, one last scripture. Tell me about one for the road. One for the road. Isaiah 4. We'll do Isaiah 3 next year. If you want Isaiah 3, come back next year. Isaiah 4. Isaiah 4, verse 1. Is it 4, verse 1? I think I got the wrong scripture. Oh, yes, it is. Seven women will take hold of one man. Now, please don't practice this literally. This is all symbolic here, right? Woman is a picture of the church. Seven, a picture of perfection or rest. One man, a picture of leadership. Seven women will take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread. We will wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name and take away our reproach. This is the problem in the modern day church. In other words, your name is your nature, your reputation, your stature in the kingdom, right? So, I do not want your bread. We do not want your clothes. We have our own bread and we have our own clothes. We only want to be known by your name. In other words, bread here speaks of grace or truth. Clothing here speaks of a mantle or an anointing to do certain things. So we only want, we got our own doctrine. We got our own mindset on the issue. We got our own perceptions, our own viewpoints. We don't want yours. We got our own thoughts, our own mantles. God has also called us, you know. Right? We also got an anointing, not just you. But we don't want a divorce from you. We just want you for your name. Because we know if we use your name, things happen. Right? We want to be associated with you. We want impartation by proximity, not by obedience. Right? Never ever, and I want to say this fast going forward, for 2023 and beyond in this church. I don't want anybody coming here and saying, recognize the stature of the house or the stature of our global patriarchal apostolic spiritual father in the person of Pastor Thamuel Marola Naidu, and saying, we know the name. We know the reputation. We know the stature. But we got our own bread. But we got our own clothes. And our only thing is remove our reproach. The only thing we are worried about is take away our shame. If you can take away our shame, we're happy, but we will not listen to you nor follow the mantle or the assignment that you give to us. Okay? Everyone say very dangerous. Very, very, very dangerous. Okay? I wrote in my notes here, we want your credibility, but not your counsel. We want whatever you represent, but we will not be with you as our king, marching in stately, in stagely fashion. King's oil will not be with us. This is impartation by proximity without no hard commitment. But I want to encourage you today. Everyone say, believe the prophets and you will prosper. That's what, what's it? Forget where the text is found, 2020 somewhere. Right? And I want to encourage you, never ever attribute to Satan, please listen to me very carefully, never attribute to the demonic what your leader is doing by the Spirit. Never do that. Never second guess that. Right? Because then you fall on very dangerous grounds. You'll be opening the door. You'll be the scatterer within the house. But you're opening the door to a scattering initiative by Satan himself in you. Instead, I want you to hurry. Make haste, as the scripture says. Everyone say, make haste. Yes. Everyone say, we're back on the 8th of January. Say, make haste to come back. Yes. Say, get ready to build. Yes. Right? Get ready to build, brethren. Have a good holiday. I'm going to have a good holiday. Amen? Got two grandsons waiting for my attention there in Cape Town. Okay? Can't wait. Right? But my mindset is also, I want the building activity to hurry. Amen? Your attendance must be regular. Your obedience must be diligent. Your systems of honor must be untampered with. Okay? And I believe you're going to close the door to scattering, but in essence, you will be gathering, consolidating, and you're going to see, I believe, the power of God play itself out in your life like you've never had before. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that the scatterer will not prevail amongst us at any level. No scattering initiative. I thank you that in this house, it will not be divided against itself. It will not be a house where sons discount the view of their leader, as others did in Jesus' day. But in the name of Jesus, I impart a new mindset to the house to gather, not just to be physically present, but to gather in heart, in soul, in mind, and in strength. And for the building initiatives to be hurried in this house and not to be lagged. And I break the spirit of lethargy and laziness. I break the spirit of indifference and insensitivity. Break the spirit of dishonor in the name of Jesus. I set your people free by my pronouncement now in the name of Jesus. I ask in Jesus' name that every family in this house, Father, comes to experience kingly authority in all that they do, in their workspaces, in their families, in their businesses. I pray, let the oil flow. Let the oil flow. You know, a thought just grabs me. Look at me. In 2 Kings 4, the miracle where the oil did not stop. Remember that widowed person was asked to by the prophet to collect empty jars and pour the oil, right? The flow wasn't, the flow of oil was not dependent or prefaced by the volume of oil that the lady had. The flow was only determined by the emptiness of the vessels in front of her. And I want to encourage you, if you can be empty, oil will flow. If you can just humble, I see stubbornness, I see hard-headedness. If you can just humble yourself, oil will flow. Tell your neighbors, just humble yourself. Right? Humble yourself and oil will flow and you will see things vastly escalate. And yet there are others that are humble. I might be preaching to the converted for many of you here. Yet there are others that are humble and you're experiencing these dimensions. I'm saying, Lord, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Right? I want to empty myself of myself. Empty myself of my view, of my opinion. So as long as you are in the vessel, God cannot fill the vessel. God needs an empty vessel. And let me just say this to you. You know, that whole story, maybe we'll prosecute next year, is in reference to debt cancellation, to financial ascendancy. Okay? It is to issues that prevailed when a father had died in their context. And God, I believe, in the season is going to bring these kinds of miracles to us and to our context. But we have to be empty, humble vessels in the name of Jesus. Amen.